really felt that the words of that song is very relevant for what I want to share tonight. And so we are busy with this series on work. And it doesn't matter where you find yourself. You could be a housewife. That's work. It's hard work. You could be at school. That's also hard work. And so the focus is we want to win at work. Many of us are surviving, just coping at work. And that isn't God's will for our lives. He actually wants us to win. He wants us to overcome. He wants us to succeed. And so how do you do that? How do you come to a place where you're actually winning at work, where you move out of just coping by your own resources, where you move into the supernatural, where you move into the supernatural resources of God, where you can really say, God is at work. Could you say that? Could you, if you go to work, you finish the day, can you say that today God was at work? We should be able to say yes to that. We should be able to say, yes, God was at work today. He was with me today. He helped me. He gave me inspiration. He came through for me. I sang so loudly now my voice is giving me issues here. Okay, so the first week, 2 weeks ago, I shared on this thing about you should know who is the boss. I asked this question, who's the boss? And I came to the conclusion that God is the CEO of CEOs. He is the headmaster of headmasters. He is the doctor, super doctor above doctors. He is the manager above all managers. We are not left to our own devices. We are not left to be alone if we realize that God is the boss. Can you say that God is the boss? Okay, so promotion comes from God. And this is what I've learned is that I don't need to scheme. I don't need to worry. I don't need to trust in my own abilities. I can trust and you can trust that God will promote me or you in the workplace. And then last week, Sonica, she shared about patient endurance. Patient endurance. In the middle of it, to press in and to press through until breakthrough. And now this evening, I want to share with you a key ingredient for winning at work. It's a key ingredient, and the challenge is if you press down a bit, you'll see something extra there. You need to answer this question. There's more. Press again. There you go. I told you. Why do you work? The answer to this question will determine if you tap into the supernatural resources of God, or if you just left to your own devices. So why do you work? Why do you go through the effort? Why do you go through all the suffering of getting up early in the morning? Why do you do that? What is your reason, your motivation? Let's think about that now, and we just hear creak, creak. Nobody home. No, I don't know why I work. I just go to work. Just do it. Have to do it, you know, because, you know, you need the money if you're working for money. And so somebody needs to get the money in there. So somebody needs, and so you need to work. You need to provide for the family or just for yourself or to get food on the table or something like that, you know. So, yes, it's important to work because we need an income, true. Why do you work? Do you work? What is your goal in life? What about the guys still at school or the students? Why are you studying what you are studying? What is your motivation? Probably went to somebody, filled in those nice forms, and you checked the ones that make the most money, and you went that route. Yeah, uncomfortable giggle there, I know. Okay, exposing everybody here tonight. So, Why are you doing what you're doing? What is the motivation behind it? Why do you work? Is it for the position one day, having esteem in society or power? Maybe you've always wanted to boss people around, you know, so that's what you're going for. I hope it's not that. But maybe it's for our self-esteem, our self-worth. Sometimes we work because we want to feel as if we're adding value. And that's fine. That's good. But if that's the only reason, if that's the primary reason, then we're not going to tap into God's supernatural resources. And yes, we need to be productive. We need to keep the economy going. As I said, you know, I inspire you on Sundays and you keep the economy going. Okay. Okay, but what some of us, you know, we work and we actually live for life after work. You endure the day. You go through your suffering. You're checking your watch and you're gunning for 5 or 6. Or maybe you're just hoping for the weekend. That's why you're working. Yes, life happens on the weekend. Life happens you the whole year. I mean, Sonica in the past, she around April, she's been excited about December holidays. You know, so that she really plans a long way ahead. But many of us live like that. And so life goes by. And we long for this time, this retirement time. You can just play golf every day and pick up seashells and count them. Wow, you've arrived. You can now do nothing with your life. Is that it? Is that what we're aiming for, retirement? Surely there should be more. And I think many people pursue, may say, the money, the paycheck, but they don't enjoy their work. And I've got an idea why. I think I know why we don't enjoy our work often. Because we lack purpose. But not just any purpose. I'm talking about a higher purpose. Something overarching it. You and I, we were made for a mission. We were made for a mission. And if you know that you are working because of a higher, something bigger than yourself, mission, you're going to take lots of nonsense because you're here for a purpose. You're not just here for the money. Not just trying to get by. Not just living for the weekend. But winning at work is to have a higher cause in the workplace. So I want to share a little bit about that. A higher cause. Is that possible? Is it possible to have a higher cause when you're just going through the stuff of life? Doing your homework or marking exams or just working. Can there be a higher cause? It was brilliant for me. I spent some time with some of the teenagers in this week, and we had them share some of their testimonies of what God has been doing in their lives. And some of them shared that since they have grown in their relationship with God, since they've come into a closer relationship with God, suddenly they have a new purpose in life. And they say, some of them said, they're actually studying more. What? Studying more. They're actually practicing more at their sport. Why? Because they've got purpose. They've got something on the inside moving them forward, causing them to be more effective. I remember it's happened to quite a few guys at university. I remember when I was at university, there was quite a few times this happened. Somebody was struggling at their studies, and guys, it's different than school. At school, you can get by without studying. University in general, you have to actually study a little bit. You have to like be there sometime, have to look at the books, things like that. And so you find these guys, their lives fall apart, they are unproductive, they're messing around, and then this amazing thing happens, they come to Christ. They come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And then suddenly it changes. They start studying like never before. Why? Got purpose. Got something on the inside wanting them to be winning at work. Effective at work. You and I are designed to live for a mission and to be effective in our workplace. So you and I need a higher cause. But many of us live with superficial goals. It's the next car. Or it's the next house, or maybe just a house, Lord. I think that's where most of us are at. And the dream holiday, and we have these superficial goals, and maybe we reach it, maybe we don't reach it. And then wasn't all that great. You know, it was a bit superficial. I'm still asking, why are we working? What are you aiming for? What is your purpose? I remember working with guys in, they were personal trainers for serious businessmen in Cape Town. And the guy says that one of these guys, of some of them, they have their own Learjets, they have massive houses, they have their own islands, some of them. They are 300 million rand plus strong. Huge houses. And he says he's with them almost on a daily basis, and he's training with them. And then he says it's just sad. It is so sad because he goes to their houses. He says, huge house, but it's not a home. Huge house, but there's no life. Huge house, but third marriage. Huge house, unhappy children. Superficial. Or then they did studies. They evaluated the children of the Fortune 500 companies. That's like the 500 biggest companies in America or maybe in the world. And they evaluated their children. And they found out that those children are usually worse off than the middle class average families. Those children were more messed up on different levels, relationally, drugs, alcohol, whatever it may be. Something like 30% plus worse than the average. Something like, I can't remember exact stats, but it's worse. But so often we say, Lord, if I can just have more stuff, then my family will be happy, or my children one day, if we can just have the big house and the big car. And maybe we won't say it, but sometimes on the inside of us, something steers us in that way. It steers us to that place, position, power, influence. And we find out in the end there was a dead-end road. That's not what life is about. It is superficial. So what drives you at work? Success? At school? To be the best? To get the something from somebody? But what is true success? What is true success for you in the workplace? What is true success for your life? We need to answer that question. You see, unfortunately, subtly, and I'm going to show you now from the scriptures, subtly this money thing comes in. And we pursue the money. We pursue superficial stuff like success. And you know what happens? We go where the money leads. And that's an interesting thing to say. We go where the money leads. Isn't that supposed to be God's place? We go where God leads. That's what it's supposed to be. But it's so easy for us to be distracted, sidetracked with less important issues. Now, I'm sure all the teachers are telling me, well, I'm definitely not a teacher for the money. I hear you. I hear you. I agree. I'm definitely not doing what I'm doing for the money either. But there are lots of other things that can creep into your heart and can get us distracted. So the truth is, now you need to get, this is fundamental, this is foundational, this will set you up for where we're going. You need to know that God is the source. This is hard. God is the source. If there's something in my life that I've struggled with, it would be this. You see, because we have our job, or we have our parents, or we have, if you're a wife, your husband may be working. And so we look to that person, that job, as our source. But it's not the source. It's merely the channel. It's merely the path through which God is providing for you currently. That's very important to understand. God is the source. Look at this. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. It says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, not to be proud, not to be proud as if you are special, nor to trust in uncertain riches. Do not trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Say all things. Okay, so who provides all things? God. But it's very hard for you and me to see that or to live in that way. And that's why we struggle to sleep at night sometimes. We're worrying about our future finances. We're worrying about this. We're worrying about where's the provision going to come from, because we forgot God is the source. And that's what that scripture says. It says, do not command those who are rich. Do you know, most of us here are rich, statistically speaking, compared to the rest of the world, we are stinking rich. Although compared to a rich person in South Africa, we're maybe not, but we're very wealthy compared to somebody here in a squatter camp. We're rich. Okay, so I'm speaking to you. Do not trust in uncertain riches. What does it mean, uncertain riches? It means the channel can change at any time. The economy can shift and your current channel dries up. But God is still the source, so He will provide another channel, another way, another pathway of provision. Trust not in the channel. Trust not in the money. Trust not in the houses, cars, and things. Trust in God. That's where God wants us to come to. Trust in the source, not in the means. And then it says He gives us richly all things to what? To enjoy. It's not an issue to be rich. It's not an issue to be wealthy. The issue is your life aligning with God's purpose? Because then you will tap into the supernatural resources of God. Then provision will flow from all sides, beyond just the channel that you might be used to. And I believe we need a shift in our hearts, a shift of faith, a shift of trust. I know how hard this was for me. I had to learn this the hard way. I've got a feeling I'm going to learn it now again as a church, as we're stepping out in faith with possibly a new venue. And it's a big step of faith for us. But I just feel God is saying, am I your source? Am I your source? Or are you trusting in man? You see, God doesn't have a problem that we have a lot, but He does have a problem if what He has given us is not aligned with His purpose. So money. Money is a terrible master. There's a scripture that speaks about it. 1 Timothy 6 verse 10. It says, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Have you ever looked at a piece of paper? Piece of money? It's just a piece of paper. It's just a digit maybe on your bank account. Does that digit have power? Does the piece of paper by itself have power? I know everybody's unsure. Which way is it going with this? Does it, does it not? Well, a piece of paper by itself doesn't have power. But there's a force behind money. It's called mammon. There's a force behind money, and it's called mammon. It's a spirit that tries to control you and me. How does it work? It tries to tell you and me what we can do and what we can't do. It tells you, excuse me, you don't have enough money in the bank to do this. Back off. Excuse me, what do you think you're doing? This isn't your space. The amount of money you have, the amount of resources you have, it only allows you to operate in this little corner. So please play there. That's what mammon does. That's what mammon tries to do. It tells us what we can do as a business. It tells us what we can do wherever you might be working, whatever you're trying to achieve. It tries to tell you and me what you can do, what you can't do. But as long as we allow mammon to control us, to tell us, as long as we allow money to determine the path we take, we won't tap into the supernatural resources of God. We will always be left to our own devices. We will always be struggling, always be worried, always trying to scheme our way into the future. But that's not God's will for us. This is so critical. I really feel God is speaking to me about it. Mammon tries to keep you and me from following where God leads. You'll walk down the street, you might meet somebody, and they really have a need, a financial need or whatever need. And you want to meet it, but you realize, ooh, I actually need this for myself. This is my last 100. I need this for myself. And so we allow money to dictate when maybe our hearts told us, give. Bless that person. They need it. Do you see that? Do you see how money can influence us, can control us, and tell us what we can do or can't do? And so 1 Timothy 6 verse 10, it says, the love of money, the desire for riches, it's a root of all kinds of evil. Why? For it says, it will cause you to stray from the faith. What does it mean? It causes you to take another path which God has not set out for you. It can be that you're studying to be a chartered accountant because of the money. And I remember now with Sonica, she's a chartered accountant. I remember with the accountants, it's a big thing to be a chartered accountant. You know, it's like a position, it's prestige. It's everybody, oh, chartered accountant. Wow. You know, and they do make good money. Much better than engineers. Unfortunately, I studied engineering. But if I could do it over and I had money leading me, I would have studied chartered accounting. Maybe actuarial science. Because that's where the money would have led me, but I would have missed the path that God has set out for me. And so it will cause you to stray from the faith in their greediness and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. So what is money speaking to you? As I said, money is a bad master. It's a terrible master. It's a slave driver. It will cause you to suffer. It will cause you to worry. It will cause you to get an ulcer on your stomach. It will cause you to walk a road that you should not be walking. What is money telling you? What is mammon telling you? Where is mammon leading you? Or is God leading us? That's where you want to come. Who's your master? Matthew 6:24. It says, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. It says, you cannot. Say cannot. You cannot serve God and mammon. It's impossible. Mammon will lead you if mammon is the master. Mammon will dictate your future if mammon is your master. And God will not be able to. I would not be where I am today if I allowed money to lead me. But God led me. And I believe each of us, we have a calling, we have a purpose in our lives. And we need to ask God, Lord, what is that purpose? And where are you leading me? Where are you leading me? Not where's the money leading you. Okay, so what is God's purpose? This is something I believe that's critical. If you want to tap into the supernatural resources of God for your life, whatever that might be, spiritual, financial, human, whatever form of provision, then you need to align your life, specifically your work life, with the purposes of God. Now, I've been speaking the last month or two. You might remember about this. I told you, you are a hose pipe. Can you say that? I am a hose pipe. Is it Dane Slung? Now, that's why I brought this picture. Because it's not an itsy-bitsy little hose pipey garden pipe, hose pipe. It's a manure. It's a real thing there. It's powerful. And each of us are standing in life, as I shared previously. I believe God is standing behind us with all of his resources, a huge dam, 1,000 kilometers wide and 1,000 kilometers, a massive dam, all his resources standing right behind you and me. And he's wanting to reach the world. He's wanting to provide for those who do not have. And he's standing behind you and me, and we are the block so often. And he gives us this huge fireman's hose pipe. Don't know what you really call it, but let's just call it a fireman's hose pipe. And he's putting it in your hands. And when we allow mammon or any other selfish purpose to dictate our lives, then it will cause us to point this pipe in the wrong direction. The result is any kind of drips and drabs are going to come out there because we've not aligned with his purpose. So you need to ask yourself, am I aligning my life with the purposes of God? Because if I do, it's then when you connect to the right position and then the resources can flow. I truly believe that. This is what the Lord is speaking to me. If you make your endeavors God's endeavors, then God will look after his endeavor. This is so critical. Or do you just want to just survive? I don't know. Do you just want to get by? I don't think so. None of us want to do that. But God's purpose, God's provision is always connected to his purpose. So you need to ask yourself that. And you can take it wider in your life. You need to ask, how can I say that? How can I say that God's provision is connected to his purpose? Because in Matthew 6, God says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added if you align your life with the word and the will of God. This is so critical. So align your life. Align your life. You need to ask the Lord. Because what will happen is that if we align ourselves correctly, then God's goodness will explode onto the scene. Then God's goodness will explode onto the scene. It will just be amazing. It will be awesome. But so often, we're not thinking about it. I'm just coping at work. God, what purpose could there possibly be in my workplace? Now, I'm going to get to that in a moment. But it's something the Spirit needs to reveal to you. So align your life with God's purpose. And then, as you're standing there, you need to add one little other thing. So you aligned, you're ready, you're focused on what God is wanting to do in your life, through your life, at your school, or in your workplace, or wherever. And you're ready. So let it go, Lord. Let it explode, God. Let the grace of God flow forth. One other thing. You need to press the lever. Now, what is that lever? I believe it's faith. Now, this might seem obvious to you. But faith isn't just a heart feeling. Faith isn't just, oh, I believe. Faith is action. Faith is you stepping out where the money isn't leading. Faith is stepping out where the resources aren't there yet. But you know God is leading here. You have confirmation in your heart. You have agreement with somebody you trust. And you know that God is leading here. And yes, it might look foolish, but that step of faith will be the lever and the provision will come. We had I shared this this morning, but some while when we started the church, about 3-4 years ago when the missions team was here to pray here, somebody saw a picture of a large boat, but with these little lifeboats on the sides, and they saw these lifeboats being dropped off the sides of the boat, saving lives, touching lives. That's the picture we got. And then about a year ago, just when Sonic and I arrived here, there was another missions team here praying, and they got a word that said they saw a picture of a large ship's propeller under the water, and it just started to turn. I thought, great, okay, we're moving forward. And then about 6 months ago, we were in a prayer meeting and somebody said they saw a ship's anchor lifting up. This is profound. Ready to move forward. And then a few weeks ago, somebody had a word about a boat stuck in the mud. I felt a bit stuck in the mud a few weeks ago. And then this person felt the Lord telling him, now we must put up the mast and the sails. We're in the mud. We're going nowhere. The water's way over there. But if we put up the mast, the wind of God's Spirit will come and blow this boat into the water. And so I felt the last week or so praying about this new venue. And, it's a big step for us. And I just felt God saying, Captain Spunny Sailor. It's an Afrikaans song that says, Captain, put up the sails. Put up the sails and you will experience the power of God at work. You will experience the provision of God at work. You will see the Lord coming through for you. Okay, that's our theme song for the next 6 months. Captain Spunny Sailor. I'm sure the Selborne boys have never heard it, but we will educate you. Culture. You need real culture. So you need, there's another element. It's not good enough just to position your life according to God's purpose. Then there's an outworking of faith where you have to step out where God is leading. And the provision will follow. And the provision will follow. You see, let me ask you this. Is there any time that it is impossible for God to do something? Are there times that God is not able to do something? Anybody? No? No? Anybody that want to go for the other one? Yay, my brother. Well done. He's got it there. The answer is yes. There are times where God cannot do something when there is no faith. Because the scripture says, Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please God without faith. In other words, when there is no faith, God can't act because he's not pleased because he wants to act. So that's the only time when God cannot act is when there's a lack of faith, a lack of trust. So are you trusting in God? Faith is the key ingredient. And then you have to work out your faith. For instance, I spoke a few weeks ago, a month or two ago, about Peter Pretorius. Now, he is the head of Jesus Alive Ministries. They feed 500,000 children every day in Mozambique and Angola and other African countries. 500,000. And his son came to preach at our church and he shared with us. He told us about the faith of his dad. Because they're sitting there. I mean, let me ask you this. Do you think it's God's will or purpose to feed children that are hungry? Absolutely. Absolutely. So they have aligned their ministry and their lives with the purpose of God, feeding the hungry. But now he says, the son tells a story. He says, they come to a board meeting. All the finance guys are there and they're saying, we don't have the money. We don't have the money. We need another 5 huge trucks to carry. Now, this is like 5-6 years ago, they told the story. This is, 300,000 children at that stage. And we need another 5 trucks. We're desperate. I mean, is it the purpose of God? Yes. But so what are you going to do now? What would an outworking of faith be? Well, he says his dad stepped into the boardroom. He listened and then said, guys, we need another 5. Let's give away 1 truck. We need 5, but then we're going to need 6. That's stupid. That is really stupid. No, it's faith. Because the scripture says, give and it will be given unto you. When you give, it's like it opens space. You give one truck and you make space because it's a step of faith. You telling God, you are showing God, God, I trust in you. And so you give. That is an outworking of faith. So whose business is it? Let's look at Luke 2, verse 49. Jesus was speaking. And he said to them, Jesus was 11 years old, I think, at this time. I'm not sure. He was sitting in the synagogue, and his parents were looking for him for quite some time, 3 days. And then he answers them and said, and he said to them, now why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? I must be about my Father's work. Are you about the Father's work in your workplace? At school, studying, workplace. Are you? Are you about the Father's business? You see, I remember I once saw a video of a guy. He's a CEO of a company in Europe. Massive plastics company. They made different forms of plastic. And this guy, he has aligned his business and his life with the purposes of God. He said, God, my business is available for you and for your plan for my life, for our lives. And then at some stage, they were in a crisis. Their cash flow was over, and they had a huge, huge, massive order for plastic bags. But like, I mean, he says a whole area of the yard was filled with these huge scores of these massive cargo crates, and they were all filled with these plastic bags. And he says there was only one problem. The plastic bags had no hole inside. They were like the sides were like one. So can you sell plastic bags with no space for something inside? Do you think the order would go through? No. No way. But he said he believed and he knew that his life was aligned with God's will, God's purpose. He knew the business. God, this is your business. I'm about my Father's business. And so they stepped out by faith and they went to these crates. Him and other guys that were believers, Christians. And they went and they put their hands on these crates and they prayed. And he says, God opened all of those bags. All of them. And the company went through. The sale went through. The company moved them from strength to strength. Can God do anything? Absolutely. There's a CEO of a company that shared this. God can do anything, but the question is our lives aligned with the purposes of God? Are your business aligned with the purpose of God? Is your workplace aligned with the purposes of God? Joshua 4:23, I'm almost finished. It says, for the Lord your God. Now this is when the Israelites went through the promised land. God gave them a promise and he said, this is the promised land. And he says, and then the Lord spoke to them after when he dried up the whole Jordan River. It was in flood season. And God dried up the river and the armies of Israel stepped over and walked through the river. So in verse 23 it says, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over. And then it says, why? That all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Let me say that last bit again. That all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. I believe God is wanting to show his might, his strength, his provision to us so that those around us will know our God is mighty. He is our provision. So are you pursuing God's purpose at work? So what is God's purpose? What is God's purpose for you? If you're just an employee somewhere at a business, what would God's purpose be for you? You see, if we're pursuing money, then we'll probably, if we're a manager, we'll drive the people very hard because we've got our targets, we've got our stuff to do. But if we're there for God, then we're there for the people. Then we're there for the people. Then we're there for the people. I believe God's purpose is people. Have you noticed that there are people in your workplace? Go tomorrow morning again. Shock yourself. Whoa, what are you doing here? I was so busy working, I didn't notice there's people here as well. I'm just going for my deadlines. I'm just trying to live, trying to make my just trying to make it. I believe God's purpose is people. God's purpose is, it says in the scriptures, love God, love people. For me, I believe God's purpose is to treat people in a way that brings glory to God. To love people in a way that brings glory to God. To serve people in a way that brings glory to God. It's like the CEO, or let's say a manager in a business, coming to God and saying, Lord, I thank you for 100 people in my department. Lord, I want to shepherd them for you. Like church almost. Lord, I bring all these people before you, and I thank you, God, that you've made me a manager of these people. And I pray that you'll show me what is your heart, what is your purpose, what is your plan for all these people. Or maybe you're just an employee, but you can say, God, yeah, all these people, here's my boss. Lord, how can I serve them? How can I bless them? Maybe you're at school and you're in a class with a teacher. You're saying, God, you love that teacher. God, how can I bless that teacher? How can I sit right in front and clap the other guy behind his head if he's talking? Be quiet. The teacher said, be quiet. Now, you know you'll bless God when you do that. You can clap him. I give you, not the teacher, the other guy talking that doesn't want to listen. We're working with people, and God's heart is for people. You want to stand out? Sit in class, guys, and be different. Stand up and make everybody quiet. Say, guys, be quiet. We're listening here. We're here to learn. We're here to grow. We're here to listen to our teacher. How's that? I wish all the teachers were here. They will give a standing ovation when they, the Selborne guys. Yeah. But that's an example. There are ways of finding purpose in our workplace. There are ways of standing out in the workplace. I remember Sonica sharing with me, she was doing an audit for Remgro. Now, Remgro is a massive investment company. They have about, say, 100 billion rand or something like that. It's unbelievable. And so she was auditing this company. And they appointed, and the guys are very tense about lots of things. And then they appointed a new financial director. This guy was the financial director at Vodacom, also quite a big company. And she said it was so amazing. This guy was so different. He stood out. Why? By the way that he treated people. He could have been the boss. He could have been difficult. It could have been nasty. But he wasn't. He was different. He was nice. He was friendly. He was just real. So why not? What about the teachers here? I know teaching is a massive challenge. Especially in these days. The children don't want to listen and they give you lots of grief. But why don't you take it to God? Shock the devil. Take it to God. And say, I'm not going to be alone in this class anymore. I'm taking God with me to my workplace. And I pray, God, give me wisdom, give me inspiration. Show me how your kingdom can come here. And I truly believe that God will provide for you. Whatever you need, He will start providing for you. So the last scripture, and I'm ending off with this. Align your life with God's purpose. Align your life with God's purpose. How do you do that? With the scripture. Colossians 1, verse 9 to 10. It says, do not cease, as the Apostle Paul saying, I do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. What is that will? The knowledge of the purpose of God for your environment. You need to ask Him. And that in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, and the next one, that you may walk worthy of the Lord. I think that's beautiful. That you may walk in a way that when people look at your life, they say, man, this guy is different. Man, this person is different because of the way that we walk, fully pleasing Him. It's impossible to please God without faith. There will be a process of faith, being fruitful in every work in your workplace, being fruitful in your work. So, and I gave you the key. What is fruitful? That means provision. That means blessing. That means God makes His resources available for you so that you can walk worthy of God and so that you can please Him and so that His name can be exalted in the earth. Why not be different? Take God with you to work tomorrow. Pray. Get up tomorrow morning on your knees and say, God, I'm so tired of just surviving. I'm so tired of just going through the normal rigmarole. God, I so need your wisdom. God, I so need knowledge. God, I so need to know your plan. I so need you that when a customer comes or a patient comes, that I may hear your voice and that I may speak the word of God into this person's life because that is your purpose. You don't just want me to get a salary. You want me to walk worthy of you. Amen. Just ask. And so that's what I want us to do tonight. Just to pray and to say, Lord, where you can, every environment, all of us work with people. Shock the devil and take Jesus to work with you. Why not? Why not? Let's just close our eyes. Father, we thank you. God, we thank you that you are our source. Lord, I pray that in this house that you will start speaking to us, Lord, that we would align our lives with your purpose. Lord, that we would align our lives with your passion. Lord, that we would align every facet of our beings with you. And Lord, when we stand with that hose pipe, that huge channel of your blessing, that channel of your resources, that channel of your love and of your joy and of your peace, may it be pointing in the right direction, Lord God, and then may a flood of grace flow forth. God, may we be different. May we stand out for your name's sake. May we love like you love. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray for us here. And I know for some of us, you will be speaking to us and saying, Captain Spani Sailor, put up the sails, step out in faith. Go where you shouldn't go. But you know Jesus is saying, go. Do it. Lord, we pray for that, God. Lord, we pray for that, God. We pray for an impartation of wisdom upon our lives, Lord. We pray for an impartation of your heart. May we align ourselves with your purpose. Not go where the money leads, but where God leads. Not go where fear leads, but where love leads. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Ask that if you feel that maybe you don't know what the purpose is for you in the workplace. Maybe you feel that your life is not aligned with the purposes of God. You're just doing it, if you're honest, for yourself, or for the money, for the position, or for whatever, but not for the purpose of God. So I want to ask you, if you feel in your heart that is so, would you be so bold to come and stand here in the front so we can pray with you? I felt earlier today that we just need to pray for some people and trust that God's going to speak a word into your life. So if you want to this evening align your workplace and your work with God's purposes and you feel it isn't, just come and stand here. I want to pray with you. Lord, we worship you. We worship you, God. Your name. I feel in my heart that God is going to speak to some of us. He's going to show us a path of faith. He's going to show us that outworking of faith is going to say, but walk there. So we pray for that, God. We pray for a release of that, Lord God. We pray for that, Lord God. We pray for that, Lord God. In Jesus' name. And also just feel that there are some of us, you really struggle with doubts, fears, worries. If you could maybe come and stand here in front of me, here in this area, then I want to pray with you. Just come and stand over here. God has not called us to be fearful about tomorrow. He's not called us to be fearful about provision. He is faithful. Such a special time. This is where we trust that God through His Spirit will come and minister to us, that God through His Spirit will come and speak to us, that God would come and set our hearts free if there is fear, worry about tomorrow. Seek first. Let's sing that song. Let's just come to the cross. Just surrender to God. I know we don't have answers, but I know God has the answers for every challenge we face. Thank you, Lord.
In the cross of
God, you are the source. Let's just say that, Jesus, you are the source of everything I need. Lord, I choose to look to you. And Lord, I thank you that you would reveal to me tonight and the days to come what is your purpose for my life, for my workplace. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that we can declare it. We declare it in Jesus' name. We declare it, God. We declare it in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray you'll set us free from the fear of tomorrow, from doubts, of provision. Lord, I pray you help us to lift our eyes, Lord God. To lift our eyes to the provider, the source, our God. Gives us all things to enjoy. All things to enjoy. Thank you, Lord. Let's just focus on the Lord. Just trusting that as you guys stand here, the Spirit of God is going to speak to you. Just listen. Listen. And I just feel that God is going to give some of us words here tonight. If you get a word that you feel is maybe for the congregation, come and share it. You're a member here, come and share the word. Thank you, Lord, for realignment tonight, Lord. Thank you, Lord, we'll step out of the natural into the supernatural, Lord God. Out of struggling and surviving into winning. Thank you, Lord. You are the provision. Just thank the Lord right now where you're standing. Just tell him, Lord, I thank you that you're my provision. Thank you. Thank you for that job, Lord. Thank you for that contract, Lord God. Thank you for direction. Just speak to him. Just thank him for the answer you need. Just thank him. Thank him for the business moving forward. Thank him for breakthrough in the workplace. Order in the class in Jesus' name. Blessed be your name, O God. We thank you, God, for breakthrough. We thank you, Lord, that you're standing behind us with all of your resources, Lord God. We pray that it will flood forth. We pray that it would flood forth in the name of Jesus. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Put up the sails and see the wind of God taking you forward. Hallelujah. Thank you. see this picture of Jesus reaching out his hand. He's saying, take my hand. Let's just do that. Let's just respond. Let's just stretch out your hands. Just take his hand. Just by faith. Just by childlike faith. No, it seems a bit silly. Sometimes it takes a little step like this. Saying, Jesus, we take your hands. We take your hand, Lord God. And just feel in my heart, the Lord is saying that if you take my hand and you allow me to lead you on the path, those chains will fall from your heart and from your shoulders. I feel the Lord is saying that, but you need to take that. You need to walk that road. You need to take that step as you feel led in your heart. Just take it. Just start walking that road, and as you start walking in, the freedom is going to come. I remember once seeing a picture of a person whose feet is in cement blocks. And as the person started to walk, the blocks started to break. And as they ran, liberty, freedom. God responds to faith. God responds to trust. So God, we pray that you'll speak to us. Show us the next step of faith. Show us the next step. Because your provision will come there. Lead us, Lord. Show us how to take your hand. So Lord, I pray that we will start praying to you with faith. Expecting you to speak. Expecting you to lead. In Jesus' name. Feel my heart. The Lord is saying that He wants His glory in the workplace. He wants His glory in the workplace. He wants His presence in the workplace. And I just feel the Lord is saying, you have so struggled. Some of you have so struggled, so battled. Because you haven't taken the presence of God with you. Take Jesus with you. And all you need to do is to say, God, I'm available. I'm available for what you want to do. If I need to speak to somebody, I'll do it. If I should be kind to somebody, I'll do it. Lord, if you want me to pray for somebody right there, Lord God, I'll do it. If you want me to testify about you, Lord Jesus, I'll do it. Because you're the source. You're my boss. You're the one whom I love. Hallelujah.
Just want to agree, but just earlier today I was also just convicted about being too carnal about the workplace and not taking the Holy Spirit with us where we're going. And for me it was it's a thing of physically asking the Lord to come and be a part of our day as well in our workplace. But I think, well, I trust, I know that if you look into the spiritual realm and you actually see what God is doing in the spiritual realm, you can't help but get excited, or you can't help but want to put extra weight into what you're doing. So just on that, I just want to pray for us, as it says also, the spirit, this battle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities of the unseen. And I think we are sometimes too carnal, you know, you think you got to put your efforts extra in and you invite the Lord into your workplace. But I just want to pray for us just to open our spiritual eyes to actually see what's happening in the workplace. You know, that our efforts are actually weighted, and our whatever we do has got weight and substance to it. So I just pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that God, we can invite you into our workplace, Lord. But even more than that, Lord, thank you that you can open our spiritual eyes to see the efforts that we're doing, to see the war that is raging on outside and around us and inside of us, Lord. And thank you, God, for opening our hearts, opening our ears, God, to be able to discern between spiritual and fleshly and carnal, God, and to be able to stand in the Spirit, Lord, and to walk in the Spirit. Thank you, Jesus Christ, that you have breathed the Spirit of life into us, that we can breathe this Spirit of life into the congregation, into our workplace, Lord. And thank you, Jesus, that as you said, Lord, you only do what you see the Father do. You only say what you hear the Father say, God. And And may that be our working environment as well, God. That where we work, where we say stuff, and where we have to do things, God, may that be a direct interpretation or flowing from what we've heard from you. And thank you, Holy Spirit, that we can invite you into our workplace and that we'll work and function in the Spirit in Jesus' name.
Anybody else with a word? I feel there's somebody with a word here.
Led just to share this verse, Exodus 28, verse 3, where it says, "Tell all skilled men to whom I have given wisdom in such matters that they are to make garments for Aaron for his consecration, so he may serve me as priest." And just in like the notes at the bottom, it says, "The tailors who made Aaron's garments were given wisdom by God in order to do their tasks." All of us have special skills. God wants to fill us with His Spirit, so we will use them for His glory. Think about your special talents and abilities and ways you could use them for God's work in the world. A talent must be used or it will be diminished, or it will diminish.
God gives wisdom and skill by His Spirit. So whatever field you are in, maybe you're a dentist or a doctor, maybe you're an accountant, maybe you're a teacher, I just feel we just need to ask for God. God, give me wisdom for my workplace. Give me the skill. Give me the gift to be effective in the workplace. Just where you're standing now, just close your eyes and ask the Lord for that. Father, we ask you for that right now. We ask for it right now. That which you need, inspiration, leading. Receive the wisdom. Receive it.
As we worship, I just saw two cars, a red car and a blue car. You're sitting in your red car, it's exactly the same car as the one standing next to you, the blue car. And despite the fact that you're driving the same car, you're discontented with the car standing next to you. And I really feel that there's some of us struggling with the fact that we're discontented where we are. Be at peace where you are, what you're doing, and just ask God to help you to make the difference in the spot where you are, instead of trying to be at a different place and be in another job or another space we're not supposed to mean to be. The place we are now is the place where you should be.
If you feel discontent where you are, just bring that before the Lord. Just commit it into His hands. Anybody else with a word? Last word. Impression. You see, God has called the believers to be the ministers. And so God gives us impressions and words.
Okay, I just saw earlier a picture of a cross lying on the flat on the ground instead of being up like Jesus was on the cross. And it was flat on the cross, and I just felt God saying that we must pick up our cross, physically pick it up and walk with it, take that step. Because if it's lying flat on the floor, it can't set us free like it should. So just take the step.
Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we bring before you people standing here in the front, Lord. We thank you, God, in the name of Jesus for breakthrough in their hearts and lives concerning provision. We thank you, Lord God, for breakthrough concerning aligning their lives with your purpose in the name of Jesus. And so, Father, we commit this congregation into your hands, Lord. And we say, God, as we go this week, may we take you with us. As we go this week, Lord God, may your kingdom come. As we go this week, Lord God, may our lives align with your purpose. And may we win at work. In Jesus' name. Can you say Jesus' name? Let's say that again. In Jesus' name. We will win at work. Say that. in Jesus' name.